A reading from the book of the prophet Amos. Thus says the Lord, the God of hosts. Woe to the complacent in Zion, lying upon beds of ivory, stretched comfortably on their couches. They eat lambs taken from the flock and calves from the stall, improvising to the music of the harp. Like David, they devise their own accompaniment. They drink wine from bowls and anoint themselves with the best oils. Yet they are not made ill by the collapse of Joseph. Therefore, now they shall be the first to go into exile, and their wanton revelry shall be done away with. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to Timothy. But you, man of God, pursue righteousness, devotion, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Compete well for the faith. Lay hold of eternal life to which you were called when you made the noble confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you before God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who gave testimony under Pontius Pilate for the noble confession, to keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the blessed and only ruler will make manifest at the proper time, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, and whom no human being has seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal power. Amen. the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "There was a rich man who dressed in purple garments and fine linen and dined sumptuously each day. And lying at his door was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who would gladly have eaten his fill of the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Dogs even used to come and lick his sores. When the poor man died, he was carried away by angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried, and from the netherworld, where he was in torment, he raised his eyes and saw Abraham far off, and Lazarus at his side. And he cried out, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering torment in these flames.' Abraham replied, 'My child, remember that you received what was good during your lifetime, while Lazarus likewise received what was bad. But now he is comforted here, whereas you are tormented. Moreover, between us and you, a great chasm is established to prevent anyone from crossing who might wish to go from our side to yours, or from your side to ours.' He said, 'Then I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they too come to this place of torment.' But Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them.' He said, 'Oh no, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent.' Then Abraham said, 'If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It's an exciting day. We have our parish picnic, so everybody's out there. I was stopped by a young boy and said, "Father, is your homily going to be short today?" And I said, well, why? And he said, "Because I can't wait to hit you in the face with a pie." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My beloved spiritual father, Monsignor Blasted, always would have stories in regards to these particular parables and what have you. And he had one story about this one. And he talked about, you know, the pastor going to the banker and, you know, he was getting behind on his loan. And he said, "You know, I'm going to have a town hall meeting and, you know, I'd love for you to be there." And the banker said, "Sure, I'll be there." And so he gathered the people and he said, "People," he said, "we are in dire need. He said, we need, you know, to reduce our debt, to fix our ceiling, plaster's falling and what have you, and I'd like to have you increase your donation. Nobody really said much. The banker stood up and he said, "I'll pledge $50, Father." And he sat down. Then all of a sudden, a piece of plaster came off the ceiling and it hit him in the shoulder. And he was startled and he stood up and he said, "Make that $500, Father." And then there was silence. Then all of a sudden, somebody from the back said, "Lord, hit him again." Acts of omission. Great story that we have in the gospel, confronted with the rich man and Lazarus. And you might ask, what did the rich man do wrong? What did he do to Lazarus? He didn't lash out at him. He wasn't, uncharitable and what have you. He didn't say anything to him. But what he did wrong was that he did nothing. And when we traditionally say, "Yes, Lord, I have acts of commission. I've done things, Lord, that I know you would not have done." But how often have we confessed acts of omission? "Lord, I didn't do things that I know you would have done." These sins of omission, and it's good that we could do, but fail to do is bad. The rich man was complacent. We have to be honest. I think sometimes you and I can be complacent in our spiritual lives. He didn't change at all. He lived a life of just, again, fine clothes, of great dinners, of doing, just living a life of just pleasure and what have you. And there's really only one way that gets us out of our complacency, and that's suffering. That's pain. Life happens, and so does suffering, and so does pain, and that can shake us up. We could lose our job. There could be a death in our family. There could be announcement of you have terminal cancer. Something happens to shake you out of your complacency. And there's so many things that can happen. Some can lose their faith, or it can draw some to an even deeper spiritual life. And even if nothing awful happens in our lives, we can move in and out of complacency. But it's not easy. It's that attitude of, "Hey, I'm okay, you're okay." And I often like to think of it in this way. You have a baby born in a clean hospital, doctors and nurses all around. You have a loving mother and a loving father. You have a nursery at home waiting for that child. You have tender, loving care with grandparents and aunts and uncles and what have you. Then you have a baby born in a street shelter by a cocaine-addicted mother. There's no doctors. There's no nurses. Forget the nursery. There's not even a home. How often have we thought about that other chasm? Not trying to make anyone feel guilty, but how often have we been thankful to God for the blessings that He brought us into this world? Lazarus and the rich man were born into different worlds. They were very, very different. But there's a great equalizer. And the great equalizer in our lives is death. No matter how rich we are, no matter how poor we are, where we were born, where we were brought up, we're all equal when it comes to death. In that parable, that is the equalizer. It brings us all on that same level. The closest thing that we get to death, if you're not at the bedside, and again, I've said many, many times as a priest, I've been there on the deathbed of someone, and never, ever had I heard, "Father, I wish I would not have loved so much. I wish I would not have given so much." No, it's always the opposite. And the closest thing that we come to death, if we don't experience that, is at a funeral. I always call funerals tornado warnings. What do you mean by that, Father? Tornado warnings, all of us have seen or experienced a squelch on the TV. You see tornado watch. And none of us, if I had a showing of hands, none of us would say that we pay attention to that. But then later on, the squelch comes back on, and all of a sudden it says tornado warning. And then you look outside, and you see it being dark. You see the winds rustling up. All of a sudden you pay attention to the TV then. When is it going to hit Blue Springs? And nowadays, they tell you it's going to hit Blue Springs at 4:29. Is it 4:29 already? No. It's going to hit Blue Springs at 4:29. And then all of a sudden, do we take cover or do we not? That's what a funeral does. You see that casket lying there. You see the cremains lying there. That's your loved one. And then you may think about, wow, what happens if God calls me today? Am I ready? What acts of omission do I have that maybe I need to confess? What grudge do I still hold into my heart? Who have I not forgiven? That tornado warning of this funeral, it could make people think, my goodness, do I have my affairs in order? We should all have our affairs in order, because four basketball schools, Kansas, Duke, North Carolina, and Kentucky, are all 3-0 in football. That just doesn't happen. No. I thought I should go to confession, so I did. But it's that tornado warning. Because when we take our last breath, there's no time for conversion. You take your last breath and die, conversion's over. We have to look at this parable as a great learning experience. It truly is. It's a learning experience, because if we look at it in a positive way, that's the reason why it's important for you to I to say to others, hey, that are still alive, I'm sorry. Or to make that phone call and say, hey son, hey daughter, I know we haven't talked in a while, but why don't we get together and visit? Or those persons that have helped you in your lives, how often have we talked to someone who had an influence in our life that you have affected my life for the better? That's one awesome thing as a former football coach, that every time I get a note from a player or I get an email from a player saying, thank you, coach, for bringing virtue into my life. I've had to make a hard decision in my life, and I learned that back when playing football. How much of a positive influence have we been on others? We may have no idea how have others been a positive influence in our lives. Have you ever told them? Have we ever reflected, thinking that every day is a tornado warning? And Lord, what have I not done today that I know you would have done? Does plaster from the ceiling need to come down and fall on us? Maybe so. But it's a great gospel account to truly examine our conscience, to examine our lives. What is it, Lord, that I need to change in my life? Are you at the center of my life? And if you're not, what is it that I need to change? Yes. Hit me again, Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please stand as we profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things invisible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and life for the world to come. Amen. The rich man's sin was that he neither knew nor cared about the poor man at his gate. May our intercessions in this holy liturgy express our concern for others.
On this, our priesthood weekend, we pray for all priests who are ordained to serve our church, that their ministry may be fruitful and appreciated by the people whom they serve. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the gift to our diocese of vocations to the ordained priesthood, that good men may continue to be drawn to love and serve the people of God, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For Father Rocha, our pastor, in his ministry to the people of St. Robert Bellarmine, that we may affirm, support, and celebrate his gift of service to us, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That we may never take the presence of our priests for granted, as we cherish the celebration of the Mass and are nourished by the sacraments, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all retired priests, and those who struggle with loneliness, declining health, or loss of mobility, that they may be comforted by the grace of the Holy Spirit, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all priests who now sleep in the peace of the resurrection, and for those who may die this year or this day, that God lead them gently into their eternal reward, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who have died in the peace of Christ, especially for Mary Solis, for whom this Mass is offered, that they may be carried by angels to the heavenly banquet of God, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, the blessed and only ruler of all, You are King of kings and Lord of lords. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Priesthood, the gift of your Son in the Eucharist. May we continue to cherish you, to worship you, and to see that love and mercy in the poor and the weak. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.